Welcome to Hollywood and Horsepower, the show about the story behind the story. This is your host, Mark Otto. I've been absent a little bit, but back live with you this week and just going to be myself. So you're stuck with me for the show today. I guess I'm hanging out with all my friends, as they say. But I thought we would take a little bit of time and talk about several things that are going on, good, bad, and indifferent. I generally, as many of you know, this show has always been about Hollywood, racing, people, the story behind the story. And kind of keeping with that theme, I wanted to talk a little bit about the story behind the story with the latest headlines, which, as many know, are the trade wars. I'm not a political person. I consider myself pretty much apolitical. I'm not beating up on the current administration. I'm not taking any side. All I'm doing is sharing my two cents. It's probably worth one. But I also wanted to give people a firsthand account of how some of these work and how it affects retail and, commerce. Because as many people know, and what has afforded me the opportunity to do this show, is my day job has been in marketing, branding, and sales for a global manufacturer, and I work with this directly. So I have firsthand knowledge of how these work, and that's kind of what I'm going to share. Not telling you what to believe, not telling you what's right or wrong, just telling you what I see. The first misconception that I see most commonly mentioned is that other countries pay this tariff. I come to you live from the U.S. We split our time between Miami and Michigan. And for U.S. companies, for the vast majority of them, if you purchase product abroad, doesn't matter where it is, almost everyone purchases product, what they call FOB or freight on board, at that location or at that port. So any costs associated with coming to the U.S. are generally absorbed by the U.S. company. Now, in the rare occasions where they buy a product that's delivered to them prepaid, then the tariff would actually be built into the price. But either way, the U.S. company and eventually the U.S. consumer is the one paying that tariff. Those tariffs do not just get absorbed. They can't, because in many cases, especially you take like the steel industry, the tariff could be greater than the profit margin these companies are making. And once again, I'm not trying to be political. I'm just giving you my observation from working in this industry for many years. As I've said to a lot of people, I don't pretend to have all the answers, but I've been sitting in the audience for a long time watching the show, and you start to see patterns. So that's one of the misconceptions. The other one is that this will automatically drive jobs back to the U.S. Now, that is partially true. In some industries, in some sectors where there is available capacity, such as the steel industry in 2018 with those tariffs, there was available capacity. What has changed is that the U.S. steel industry is basically, in most cases, above capacity. So this creates a problem because there's really no place for it to go. So the tariff ends up being basically an additional tax. So there's a lot of moving parts right now, and unfortunately, I think you're going to start to see it at the retail level very soon. I know for a fact that I've seen some retailers already move up in their pricing, and unfortunately, that's just a situation that's a byproduct of this. The other thing you're starting to see is that the countries that do have lower tariffs are actually elevating prices to get closer to the higher tariff countries. And that's another thing that they really don't talk about in the media. So a lot of moving parts, and I would say, the biggest thing that my personal opinion is, and again, I'm just saying this is my opinion, I still feel that we are stronger with a global market. I'm not anti-American. I've always been very patriotic. I worked with Navy for 9 years. I've done volunteer work for law try to support law enforcement and the military, but I will say I feel, you know, kind of more like Ronald Reagan and Warren Buffett, that, you know, we are stronger when we do what we do well and let other people do what they do well. So just wanted to take a few minutes and talk a little bit about that, not wanting to go off on a complete rant about it, but just wanted to, you know, at least touch on it because I hear a lot of misconceptions. And it's something that, you know, I deal with every day. So it's not just my opinion so much as it is, you know, how you know, I see things unfolding. But that being that, I wanted to also jump into some of the lighter stuff, the more interesting stuff. We're going to have a guest on the show coming up, I'm really hoping, I'm working on it right now, by the name of Jamie McCarthy. Jamie McCarthy's dad was J.P. McCarthy, and J.P. McCarthy was a legend in broadcasting out of the monster station in Detroit called WJR. J.P. was just like an icon for anybody who grew up in the Midwest. I grew up listening to J.P. I would say it was probably one of the things that first caught my attention of, you know, having a forum like this to talk to you. And, you know, as Milton Berle said, you know, it's an amazing forum where I can reach millions of people and no one can reach me. JP was a really interesting guy. He was, you know, the rock of the Midwest. He was probably just the most influential person of the day, interviewing people like Lee Iacocca, President George Bush Sr., Arnold Palmer, Rosa Parks, Paul Harvey. And it's just amazing the guests that were on his show. So I'm really looking forward to speaking to Jamie. There's a book, and if you get the opportunity, it's called J.P. McCarthy, Just Don't Tell Him Where I'm At. It was written by Michael Shields. Michael worked with JP, probably knew him better than anybody other than his family. And it's a really good read, very interesting guy, and I'm really excited to hopefully we'll have him on the show before long. So we're working on that right now. So we're in the Kentucky Derby season. You definitely know you're at spring in Kentucky when the Kentucky Derby hits. It was an interesting weekend. The Godolphin horse was the one that won, and that farm actually won several other big races throughout that weekend. So, you know, we wanted to wish our best to Godolphin and congratulate them. They had a great weekend and, you know, very well deserved, very impressive operation, and, you know, they obviously came to win. It was really great to see Bob Baffert back in the Kentucky Derby. I know there are mixed emotions about that, but I consider Bob a personal friend. He's a great guy, excellent horseman, and I think one of the best in the business. And if that costs me listeners, I'm okay with that. I hope that everyone is still getting out traveling. I do seem to notice that it seems like things are a little bit down, and, you know, I'm hoping people, you know, get out. I really encourage people to travel near or far, you know, find new restaurants, find places to go. I really am always interested in learning people's stories and learning about what they're doing, what brought them to this point. So, you know, Kentucky Derby season, we're into the Triple Crown right now. You know, there are a lot of exciting things going on, and this is the perfect time to take a little trip. You know, incorporate, you know, a great restaurant, trip to the coast, whatever you can work in with it. You know, there are so many, you know, it's interesting with any type of racing, whether it's horse racing, automotive racing, it's interesting to me how much it coincides with, you know, hospitality and great restaurants. So, you know, as you're coming into the spring season, you know, whether it's automotive racing, horse racing or golf, you know, it's funny how it all kind of wraps around hospitality and dining. And I've always thought that was a fun part of the industry. You know, I grew up with a a lot of travel, and I've always enjoyed that. I tried to do that with my kids, and I really encourage that for everyone because I think it's a great way to, you know, see this amazing country and experience a lot of new things. So I think we've got a great opportunity, and I think, you know, we're in the right timeline to get this done. The weather's been great. Seems like we're coming up on, you know, better weather here. And, you know, people are starting to branch out, so hopefully things get rolling. When we get into this show, you know, a lot of people ask me, you know, how did this come about? And it's interesting because, you know, as I touched on the beginning of this show, I work in an industry where I'm very fortunate that I, you know, meet a lot of interesting people, everything from celebrities to very influential people in horse racing and automotive racing, Hollywood, music. And it was interesting to me that what intrigued me the most about these people was the story behind the story, more so than what somebody was actually known for. And it's not that I wasn't interested in what they were known for, but I definitely was always curious, you know, how did you get to this point? So when I would have a chance to sit and talk with somebody, those were always my questions. And then, you know, the opportunity came to put this to air, and, you know, the rest is history, and that's how this came to be. It's something that's been really exciting for me. I enjoy it. I hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoy it, because quite frankly, when I'm sitting here talking to people, it's as enjoyable for me, hopefully, as it is for the guests. I've been very, very fortunate to have some amazing people on here and very interesting people, and we have more people coming. You know, John Barber's joined us. You know, we had Carrie Earnhardt, Ryan Newman, you know, Michael Blowen, Terry Finley. You know, it's just the list goes on and on. And, you know, I'm very thankful, I'm very grateful that these people share their time and, you know, allow me to be part of their world. So I'm very grateful for that, and I just wanted to thank everybody. The other person that I really appreciate is Les from Valley Rose Farm. He really was the guy that kind of helped get me to this point and this platform. And, you know, he's a really great guy. He has a show of his own on this network, BBS, and does just a terrific job. But, you know, we really have been fortunate that we have a lot of great people. We have a lot of interesting topics that range on all different platforms. You know, and, you know, that's a lot of it wraps around travel, racing, and hospitality. And, you know, on that note, we keep seeing the same things over and over again. And I just have to bring it up again. If we are going out, could we please try to at least be presentable? It amazes me what I see in the airports these days. And I'm not trying to sound like an old curmudgeon, but when I get to the airport and it looks like people just got out of bed and are carrying a pillow and a stuffed animal, that's fine if you're 6 years old, but it's disturbing if you're 40. It's, you know, I don't know. I'm not trying to tell people what to do, but it seems like we could at least put a pair of pants on and a shirt to go to the airport. Same thing for restaurants. If you're going to go to a nice restaurant, let's at least try. I mean, I feel like we're losing that, and I think that's one of the things that appeals to me about these sports, is that it feels like these are the last sports where people still kind of get dressed to go to the event, and I kind of like that. So, you know, I really enjoy the places that I've been able to go, and I've tried to share those with you guys. You know, in Kentucky, there are so many amazing places. For anybody who's there for the Churchill meet, you have Wagner's. You have to go there. It's an icon. It was the diner that was in the Secretariat movie. It is just an amazing, you know, little place. There many great, great restaurants. I think one of my favorites is called Le Relais. It's at the Taylor Airport in Louisville, Kentucky. Just an amazing place. It's a little French restaurant. It literally makes you feel like you're going back in time to Casablanca. I mean, it's just that kind of a feeling. The food is absolutely phenomenal, and I just can't say enough good things about it. If you're in the Lexington area, Malone's Steakhouse is a staple. You have to check it out. It's worth the trip. It's absolutely one of the best places that I've ever been. It's the most comfortable place in town. Tony's Steak and Seafood in Lexington is another great place. And if you're looking for something casual, Drake's. And none of these people are sponsoring this show. I'm sharing things that I like because hopefully, you know, if you're looking for a place to go when you're traveling, you'll share the same interest. Another great place in Lexington is Frank and Dino's. Frank and Dino's is just an amazing place. It was actually started by Carlos, who was a horse trainer. They have phenomenal food, great atmosphere. It's right downtown, a beautiful building. Definitely worth the trip. You know, and obviously, if you're out in New York for the Triple Crown, you have to go to King of Birdos. King of Birdos is just one of the landmarks in the Howard Beach area, Queens. Just phenomenal food, you know, an institution. It's kind of a home for a lot of the horse racing people, and I've been very fortunate to be a guest with several people there. And it's an experience that you can't really compare to anything else, so it's definitely worth the trip. So, you know, we're into spring. Second leg of the Triple Crown is coming up with the Preakness, and, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that, and then it heads for New York. And, you know, it's an interesting year this year, so there's a lot going on. You have Saratoga that has an extended season, so that'll be a lot of fun for people. And, you know, they continue to work on Belmont, and that'll be exciting when that comes together. So I really hope that people will get out and experience horse racing. I mean, I enjoy all types of racing, whether it's automotive racing, horse racing, you know, vintage automotive racing is very, very interesting, and it's definitely growing. But, you know, there's very few sports that are as accessible as horse racing. And I always encourage people, if you have the opportunity, take a chance. Look up, you know, you can go to NTRA.com, and they have a list of all the racetracks in the United States, the National Thoroughbred Racing Association. And they will, you know, you will find it's a great way to spend an afternoon. It's something that you can take your kids to. It's something that's very accessible. You can get up close and personal to it. And it's an interesting sport. You know, they're beautiful animals. They truly enjoy what they do. You can see that they fight for every inch on the track. And I think that that's something that people really would enjoy more. It's interesting because horse racing used to be like a staple of American society. If you go back to the 40s, 50s, even, you know, before that, you couldn't really come across a movie that there wasn't some reference to horse racing. Going into radio, when you looked at, like, the Jack Benny Show and, you know, a lot of the other radio shows, they always had references to radio. So I feel like there's a tremendous, you know, period there where horse racing was really part of the American fabric, and I hate to lose that. So I really encourage people to go out, experience it, take the time, go to a track. You'll never regret it, I promise you. It's a great time, and it's a good way to spend an afternoon. I think it's as American as baseball. I mean, horse racing wasn't started here by any stretch of the imagination, but it's definitely been part of the American fabric for a long time. So I really encourage people to try it. It's a fun way to do it. There's a lot of racing throughout the summer in Kentucky, Florida, New York, California, Texas. And, you know, take some time, look around, find a track near you or find a destination that would be fun to go to, and it's worth the trip. Another thing that I think is worth mentioning in kind of that same vein is some of the vintage and historic automotive racing. So everybody's pretty familiar with the movie, you know, Ford versus Ferrari, which was based around, you know, obviously the Ford and Ferrari challenge. But in the background of that was the Carroll Shelby and, you know, Miles combination that was, you know, kind of an SCCA level start. And SCCA stands for Sports Club Car of America Group. It's kind of a amateur, pro-amateur racing forum. I'm a member of SCCA. I've actually raced many, many years and enjoyed it very much. But that is a great ground, grass level, you know, grassroots level type of racing that's fun to go see. They are in every state, and it is a fun thing to do, everything from autocross to road courses. And then, you know, the next step up, or a couple of steps up, are some of, like, the vintage cars. And then there's some new series coming up. So I know that Ray Everham, who was formerly Jeff Gordon's crew chief, is kicking off a series called IROC. IROC, for people that don't remember, was a series that ran back in the 80s. And Ray has gone and found many of these cars, the original IROC cars, and restored them. And they are going to go back out and race this summer, which I think is going to be amazing. So if you get a chance, Google, you know, Ray Everham IROC, you'll find it, and it will give you all the information you need to know about that series. And again, you know, they're not a sponsor of this show. I'm plugging it because I find it interesting, and hopefully you'll find it interesting as well. I think that, you know, there are a lot of things that people overlook for entertainment, and a lot of times it is things that are what I would call unconventional, you know, types of entertainment. So like horse racing or, you know, SCCA racing or IROC racing, some of the vintage cars, you know, racing. It's, you know, those are great, you know, things to experience. And whether you're into cars or not, it's hard not to appreciate some of these vintage race cars, just the history on them alone and just who's driven them. I mean, he actually has some of the cars that, like, Dale Earnhardt Sr. drove. Some of the real famous NASCAR drivers drove. So it's a really interesting thing that they're bringing back. And I've always found that kind of stuff interesting. And Ray has done just a phenomenal job of finding vintage race cars and vintage historical cars and bringing them back to life and getting them really where they should be, whether it's on display or in the proper collection or, in this case, back on the track. So I really commend him on that. He's done a tremendous job. And, you know, I mean, he's just very, very talented at that. So, you know, there's a lot going on. You know, as you come into spring, you can, you know, look, and there's a lot of different things coming up. Another thing is really near and dear to this show, and I would be remiss if I didn't talk about it a little bit, is the No Fallen Heroes organization. Again, they are not a sponsor. We do not accept or take a dime for plugging them. And the reason I promote it is because I truly believe it. No Fallen Heroes, you can find it at nofallenheroes.org, was founded by a former Top Gun fighter pilot, Matt Wiz Buckley. He was a guest on this show, in fact. You can find him in our archives on any of the podcast platforms, with Apple, Google, Spotify, Audible, or BBS. And, you know, Matt was a Top Gun fighter pilot adversary trainer. Now, that's like another level in itself. So for anybody who's seen the Top Gun movie, if you remember Jester, who was, you know, the adversary, he would always train the pilots how to fight the enemy. He was the best of the best. That was Matt. That was Wiz. So he is one of the top fighter pilots that the Navy had. When he got out of the Navy, and I don't want to blow his whole story, he tells it better than I do, he, you know, did some work in the financial sector. He was, you know, reserved for a long time, including being, you know, on deck for 9/11. And then you know, he, you know, still does financial planning with a company he founded called Top Gun Options. And then he founded No Fallen Heroes for veterans and first responders. And I think that's key because a lot of organizations, and there's great organizations out there, but a lot of them focus primarily just on certain types of veterans and only veterans. Matt went one step further, actually a couple of steps further. He focuses on veterans. He also focuses on their family. And then he also focuses on first responders and police, law enforcement. And what he's done is he's really put a lot of time and effort into, you know, some of the microdosing psychedelic, you know, drugs that help people, you know, get through their trauma and get through their therapies. And it's interesting because this has come full circle to where when this type of therapy first started, people would have to go out of the country to do it. And, you know, this week, Matt Wiz Buckley was actually in D.C. talking to Veterans Affairs about this. And I know that, you know, the administration is looking at ways that we can incorporate this into mainstream therapies for veterans. So the primary focus of No Fallen Heroes is to prevent or eliminate, you know, veterans and first responder suicide. You know, we're losing, there's a lot of different numbers, none of them are good, but we're losing a lot of people every day to suicide. It's not an easy life, we all know that. Everybody has their challenges, everybody has their struggles. But some of these people that go through, you know, very traumatic experiences or go through military training, I can tell you firsthand, Matt can tell you firsthand, the Navy does a phenomenal job of training you, but they don't do a really great job of exiting. When you're done, you're just kind of done. And, you know, some people can work through that on their own. Some people have a more challenging time. So that is kind of where No Fallen Heroes steps in. They really have, you know, become a safe haven, a harbor for these veterans and first responders and their families to work through these with the help of microdosing, therapy, group talking, everything. And I can't say enough good about it. So I encourage everybody, go to their website, you know, read about it, do your own research. But if you find it in your heart to support them, please do. The other thing I would encourage, because I've noticed Matt's made several comments about this, only support them or donate directly to them. Evidently, there's been some, you know, scams or somebody trying to collect on their behalf. Nobody will collect on their behalf, including this show. So any donations or any support to them, you want to go right to the No Fallen Heroes website and donate to them or support them in any way that you can. And as I always say, if you can't do a lot, do what you can. You know, another thing that I really try to promote on this show are people that I feel have done a great job of what they do. And there's nobody in the industry that I've had more respect for than MB Gray. MBGrayHealthcare.com is her website. She is one of the top healthcare consultants in the U.S. If she was sitting here, she'd be laughing and saying that I'm biased, but it's really not true. I honestly think she is truly one of the people that can not only save your company money on healthcare, work comp, and liability, but also help your employees get a better program. So if you have employees, you have health care, and if you have health care, you probably have some headaches involved with it. So I would encourage you to take a look at her website, mbgrayhealthcare.com. You know, if you get a chance, talk to her. If she can help you, she will. If she can't help your company, she'll be the first one to tell you that she wouldn't be able to. So she's the best at what she does. Her name is MB Gray, mbgrayhealthcare.com. And it's definitely worth taking a look at because most of the time she is able to put people into a better plan for their employees at a cost, say, savings that covers her fee. So in essence, you get better health care, better coverage at no charge to you and your employees. So, you know, health care is great. Health care coverage is great, but it isn't much good if you can't utilize it. And unfortunately, with some of the company's plans, you know, there's so much out of pocket. The plan is so, you know, poorly done that it really doesn't benefit the employees. Those are the things that she fixes. So that's just wanted to put that out there for anybody that has employees, anybody that has, you know, comp and liability, health care. Definitely want to take a minute and look at that. You know, one of the things that we have always enjoyed on this show is trying new places, going to new, you know, we have our favorites, but we also have, you know, the new places that we stumble on. And there's, I'm probably a little bit biased, I'll be perfectly honest. But, you know, in South Florida, there are so many amazing places that even as you're driving around working, you'll be amazed how many places you can find just in a little hole in the wall or a little strip mall. There is a place in Sunny Isles Beach called Area 57. It is a Columbia restaurant and Colombian restaurant. If you ever get the opportunity, you owe it to yourself to go try this out. The food is absolutely amazing. The atmosphere is terrific. People are amazing. And it's not high end. It's a very simple place. It's in a strip mall, probably 12 or 15 tables. Excellent food and excellent people. You know, another place kind of along that line is Barry's Grill in Sunny Isles. And Barry's has several locations, Coral Gables, Sunny Isles. I believe they have one in Boca, and that is an Argentine steakhouse. Again, not high-end, very normal, you know, everyday, but amazing food, and they do things just tremendously well. Obviously, if you're in Miami, you have to go to the Palm. So the Palm restaurant started out in New York, and the Palm was like a second home for me. So the Palm in New York was started by two brothers, and they were originally from Palermo, Italy. The story, as it was told to me by one of the old employees at the Palm, was that when they went to register the restaurant, they had their English wasn't the best, and when they said they wanted to name it Palermo, the person at the register's office thought they said Palm and wrote it down. And they didn't have enough money to change it, so it stuck. They originally made all Italian dishes, and as the story goes, a customer that was a regular would always come in, and he asked him one time, could you do a steak? Could you do anything that's not, you know, pasta? You know, I have pasta every time I come in here. And they kind of thought for a minute, I don't know why, so they literally walked across the street to the grocery store, bought steaks, brought it back, and made steaks for the customer, and they loved it. From that point on, they started adding steaks to the menu. You cut to, you know, that was back in the 20s. They were open in 1926. You cut to today, they're all across the country. They were family-owned up until a few years ago, and then they were sold to Landry's. It was the Bozzi-Ganazzi family that owned them. And, you know, they did just an amazing job. Bruce Bozzi especially did a tremendous job. And, you know, they are, they're just an institution. I mean, I can't say enough good about it. I've never had a bad meal there. I really hope it continues. I love the fact that the Bozzi family owned it, and I would have loved to have seen that continue, but unfortunately, it didn't work out, and, you know, it was kind of the end of an era. But, you know, the restaurant is still the Palm to a degree, and I really enjoy it very much. You know, so if you're anywhere throughout the U.S., whether it's Atlanta, Nashville, New York, L.A., you know, the Charlotte, there are Palm restaurants all over the country, and it's definitely, you know, it's definitely worth the trip. Kind of in that vein, Bruce Bozzi and, you know, his partner, Sandra Baker, have started a company called Majin, and it is a Japanese liquor, and I hope I don't misrepresent it, but if you get the opportunity, you should really check it out. I mean, they have just done a tremendous job with this. I mean, it's kind of amazing how well this product has taken off. And, you know, I think, you know, it says a lot about both of them, you know, what they've done to make this work. The product is spelled M-U-J-E-N. And if you get a chance, take a look at it. It's Majin.com, M-U-J-E-N.com. Sandra Baker and Bruce Bozzi are the partners, the founders of it. They have done just a phenomenal job of launching this product. It has no carbs, no gluten, no sugar, no additives. It is a very natural, crisp product. And, you know, I really encourage you to try it and, you know, take a look at it. You know, they're really great people. They've done a terrific job of launching this. It is a crafted in Japan spirit, and it's, you know, something I think that you'll enjoy very much. So take a minute. It's mujen.com, and, you know, we've always kind of followed Bruce because, you know, of the palm, and then, you know, he partnered with Sandra, and, you know, she's phenomenal. She just does a terrific job. Probably one of the hardest working women in America. I think every time you see her, she's going somewhere, doing somewhere else. So she's really phenomenal at what she does. And, you know, the product is amazing. So if you get a chance, take a look at that. We've really enjoyed it, and I think you will too. And, you know, Sandra and Bruce have just done an amazing job launching this product. And if you don't have it at your favorite restaurant, ask for it by name and tell them to get it. The other thing I want to take a minute and promote is, you know, Earnhardt Outdoors. So almost all of you know, Dale Earnhardt Sr. Well, his oldest son, Carrie Earnhardt, and his wife started a company called Earnhardt Outdoors. And you owe it to yourself to take a look at it. It's definitely a different type of company. It definitely looks at things a little bit different. It gives you a firsthand way and suggestions to experience, you know, how to find an adventure, how to find a great place to go camping. You know, this is something that is written and done, you know, by Carrie and his wife, and they do a tremendous job of actually going and experimenting these things on their own. So it's Earnhardt, E-A-R-N-H-A-R-D-T, outdoors.com. Take a minute, take a look at it. You'll be glad that you did. He's involved in many, many things, but this is something I know that's very important to him. He's been a guest on this show. He's just a phenomenal guy. You can't help but like him. He's very interesting. And, you know, he and his wife are probably some of the hardest working people I've met, and just very, very nice people. Very down-to-earth, nice people. And the cool thing about this is that they have put this thing together to help people find adventures, find places they want to go without having to, you know, stumble around. So they give recommendations based on places that they've gone and things that they've seen and done. And they've got, you know, a lot of things going on. They have an Earnhardt Outdoors Ale that's kicked off, part of Old Armor Beer Company. You know, they're just really terrific people. So Carrie and Renee Earnhardt, just salt-of-the-earth kind of people. They have Earnhardt Outdoors, and I can honestly tell you, if he recommends it, I wouldn't even give it a second thought. I would trust it completely. We really have enjoyed having everybody here on the show. I think it's been a phenomenal, you know, honor for me to host this. I can't can't say it's been the most professional show, and I'm sure you'd agree with it. We do jump around. We do just kind of talk. And I've told people from the beginning, it's a show about absolutely nothing. But what we try to do is talk about the story behind the story. So days like today will happen once in a while where we just kind of connect and, you know, get to talk to you a little bit about the things that I'm thinking about. And hopefully it'll give you something to think about. So, you know, the one thing I encourage everybody to do is get out and travel, you know, whether it's near or far. You know, I realize that, you know, there are challenges. Everybody's feeling it right now. The economy isn't what it was. But you know what? Make the best of it. Stay positive. Get out. Experience anything you can, whether it's down the street or across the country. And you'll definitely be glad that you did. You know, Mark Twain said, travel is absolutely fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. And if there was ever a time that we need to be more open-minded, I think it's now. You know, less hate and a little more kindness would go a long way. I don't care who you vote for. So, you know, one of the ways that I have found that that comes natural is by seeing more places. The more you see, the more you experience, the more you start to recognize that we're all pretty similar. You know, we may have different color skin, we may have different ideas, but at the end of the day, most people are just trying to get through this life and find happiness. So be a little patient, be a little kind, and I think you'll find that it works out pretty well. You know, when you're traveling in the Detroit area, continuing our talk about restaurants and places to go, because as anybody that knows that listens to this show, that they know that that's a key part of what we enjoy. There's no place I enjoy more than Andiamo's in Detroit. We started the show by talking about J.P. McCarthy, and I am pretty confident, and I'll let his son confirm it when he comes on, but Andiamo's was one of J.P.'s favorites. I know that he would have, you know, gatherings there from time to time, and he mentioned it on his show many times. It's one of my favorites, and if you're anywhere in the Detroit area, you owe it to yourself to go and check it out. Obviously, Joe Muir's has been a long-time name around the Detroit area, and Joe Muir's Steak and Seafood in West Bloomfield continues to honor that name. It is a phenomenal place. It's well worth the trip, and again, you know, it's one of those places that we are not paid to promote. I'm just telling you about places that we enjoy. So if you are in the area and looking for a place, whether it's on business or pleasure, check out Joe Muir's, check out Andiamo's, and I promise you, you won't be disappointed. You know, you'd be remiss if you didn't mention Rosebud in Chicago. And what makes it fun to bring up Rosebud in Chicago is that now we have a Rosebud in Boca Raton, Florida. So I think it's really amazing. Rosebud goes all the way back to when Sinatra and Dean Martin used to go to the one on Taylor outside of Chicago in Little Italy. And Rosebud on Rush has been a absolute staple in the Chicago area forever. And now we have a Rosebud in Boca Raton. So it's kind of exciting. Anybody in South Florida, I encourage you to check it out. It's not that far of a drive. You know, I'm in the Sunny Isles area most of the time, and from Sunny Isles, it's less than 30 minutes. From West Palm, it's about 45 minutes, and from Boca, you have no excuse in the world not to go. So I really think that there are a lot of great places that, you know, you drive past every day. The one thing I encourage people to do is, you know, look around, try something new. Go to that little, you know, place in a strip mall. You might be surprised what it turns out to be. You know, there's so many phenomenal places. And the one thing that I always look for when I travel is I try to find places that, regardless of what type of food it is, whether it's Italian, Greek, you know, Mediterranean, you know, whatever, seafood, I really, Colombian or Argentinian, I like to find places that it's a family and it's their recipes. And generally when you find that, the food is just absolutely phenomenal. So you know, take some time, take a look around, and try new places. You won't be sorry that you did. If you get a chance this summer, if you're looking for a place to take the family, or if you're looking for a place for you and wife to go, take a trip to a racetrack. Go to a horse racing, you know, event. The nice thing about horse racing is it's a pretty low-level commitment. So what I mean is you can plan a weekend, say, to New York or Kentucky, or if you're in California or in Florida, to where a racetrack is, and wrap it around going to the beach, or wrap it around going to, you know, see other things that are in that area. So the beauty of this sport is they're generally in areas that are pretty interesting. They're in areas that have a lot of tourism, so there are a lot of other things to do, and it's really a great way to spend the day. I mean, generally, if the sun is out, there isn't a much more relaxing day than hanging out at the racetrack with some friends. And I guarantee, even if you go by yourself, you'll have some friends by the end of the day. Because you will find in this sport, it is one of the most accessible sports that I've ever been around, and I've been around most of them. So if you get a chance, check that out. If you also get a chance and you have any interest in it, iRock Racing by Ray Everham is something that you really need to check out. I can't remember the exact dates that they're racing. It's later this summer, but it is definitely worth looking at. He's done a phenomenal job of restoring these cars and getting the people in them that are going to drive them. There's going to be some really good names driving these cars, and it'll be a lot of fun. Earnhardt Outdoors, if you're looking for a camping trip, a place to go hiking, a place to go skiing, the best place for fishing, Earnhardt Outdoors is the place to go. Take some time and look at No Fallen Heroes, please. No Fallen Heroes is doing a lot for a lot of people, and the most important thing they're doing is saving lives. And everybody from Matt Wisbuckley to some of the most famous, you know, Navy SEALs have gone through this program. And it is a success. And it is focused on helping people. It is one of the, you know, nonprofits that we support. We don't take a penny for doing that. I support it because I believe in it and no other reason. MBGrayHealthcare.com. If you have employees with healthcare, you have employee problems with healthcare. Take some time, look at her site, see if she can help you out. If she can't help you out, you're probably doing pretty well, because I think that she is the best at what she does, and I guarantee she'll put money back in your pocket. I appreciate everybody spending this time with us. We have really enjoyed it. I enjoy talking to you guys, and we are going to be bringing new guests in, more new content. I can't thank you guys enough for following the show. Take some time, get out, explore this great country, and, you know, everything I am saying is my opinion. I don't want to get anybody riled up. You know, I started talking a little bit about tariffs and stuff. That's really more just for information. Any of the restaurants and things that we endorse, it's just because we like them. You know, I'm actually not taking sponsorship from any of these restaurants. These are just people that I really like. So if you're in New York, go to King Umberto's. If you're in South Florida, go to the Palm or the Rosebud. And if you're in Detroit, take some time and go check out Joe Mueller on Diablo. Thanks for joining us. This has been Hollywood and Horsepower, and we will see you guys again next week.